Think about that song, and may we escape tribulation, you know. But there's a big difference between when it comes to somebody being persecuted and, you know, the prosperity movement. And you think about what's going on today, you know, when Christ, you know, inspires people, they wrote down their word, and it says, those who live godly lives will suffer persecution. So that's just the opposite of what the prosperity gospel preaches today. Unfortunately, you have a lot of big churches, a lot of people going to these churches that preach that, which is not of the word of God. Obviously, we're looking at Paul here. And, you know, Paul, he is before King Agrippa. He's before Festus. And, you know, it's like kind of reminds me of like what Jesus had to go through, you know? He had to go before people, and they persecuted him. And remember, Paul did some horrible things, as we're going to look at here in a moment here. He persecuted people. He even had tortured people. This is the Apostle Paul, Saul, as his name was. And he made even people confess they were being tortured so badly. They were like, yes, yes, I renounce this Christian faith. And just think about the burden the man had on his heart. You know, as the saying goes, much is forgiven, much will be received of you. Much has been forgiven, much will be received of you. So, you know, God has forgiven us from. Paul knew, going back in Acts 23, verse 11, and it was told him by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in jail. He says, and that night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome. So, a few years earlier, the book of Romans was written in Corinth, and it was, you know, at that time, the church had already been growing. Paul wanted to go there. Why? Because he wanted to appeal to Caesar. I'm sure there could have been some loopholes there. The people were still accusing him of doing wrong when he did nothing wrong. And this is the problem that the king had there at this time and the governor. They were like, what do we do with this man? And so we'll find out at the end of the story, they were like, you know what, it's better just to go. Just go your own way. You know, thank God, you know, the Lord is with us through all things, through trials and all. And God knows what he's doing better than what we know what we're doing. And so we see here that in verse 1, and then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth his hands and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. So here is Paul standing before the king, and it's time to give his testimony. He's in chains. He's like this. And he goes, I'll be happy to do it. You look at the king and the governor, they're there, and they are bound by their own sins. Paul's saying, look, I'm a free prisoner, so to speak, spiritually. You have a lot of people today that are bound in sin. Don't kid ourselves, right? You might say they may have the most fanciest house, the best cars, wonderful family, everything's going perfect. But deep down inside, spiritually, they're dead. They're dead. And, you know, I see a lot of walking dead people today. Spiritually, they might be alive, they might have health. You may have a nice job, everything just going perky. It's like a fresh pot of coffee, you know. It's just everything's going great. But they don't know Jesus Christ. As we looked at last week, remember Festus and King Agrippa with his wife come in with all pomp and ceremony. The world is like that. It's a lot of show. It's a lot of show and tell. But when it comes down to the soul never dies. It doesn't go to sleep. It doesn't go into purgatory. It's either heaven or hell, you know? And Jesus warned about that more than anything else in the Bible. You don't want that. People don't want to hear it today. They don't want to hear about hell. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. Thank God we know our loved ones that, no, one day we'll be reunited with them. And so it's just a breath away, you know? So, verse 26, Paul's excited. He's already witnessed to the governor and told him about the resurrection. And now he's going to hear it again. And the previous governor, remember, Paul's in jail for 2 years. And now here comes the big time. And the governor, Festus, is like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this guy? He wants to appeal to Caesar. He wants to appeal to Caesar. So what am I going to do? Because this guy hasn't done anything wrong. He was put in a situation. Remember, God never puts us in situations where we can't get out of them. There is no temptation that is common to man, which God gives what? An escape from that temptation. As long as we're with God, it's different. Sometimes we succumb to temptation because we're not tight with the Lord. He's not right next to us. He's not right there, as I can put it on our shoulder, speaking right into us. We don't have him consciously working in our heart. We're not giving the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Doesn't necessarily just mean the songs and all. Yes, to praise him. Yes, that's part of it. But also we need to be filled with Spirit with his word. And emptying ourselves. Less of us, more of what? Him. So Paul's all about him. And they're looking at him like, is this guy crazy? So, we see in verse 3, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are amongst the Jews, and wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And, you know, he's looking at King Agrippa and goes, I know you know. How many people of that we know that they know? That they know about Jesus Christ. They know about Christ. And you talk to them. And what happens to them? What? Do they get angry? Or are they still listening? And thank God, by the grace of God, we are who we are today. Amen. We are who we are. So here he is giving the testimony. Some people know our testimony. Our neighbors, our friends, people at work, people we go out and meet out in the streets. They know who we are. Some of us have been here since the beginning of time. And here we are, you know. What do they think of us? As I said last week, you know, what would happen if you could, for a minute, step out of this body, right? And that's your soul stepping out. The soul never dies. It's like a mirror image of who you are on the outside. But stepped out for a minute, you walk back to that chair and you sat down and you look at yourself. And there you are sitting there. And you're like, is that what I look like? Really? You know? What would you change? What would you change? What would you make different? You know, what could people see in there? Could they see Christ in you? They're like, wow, I like the way I look for Christ. That's good. And you step back and you get back in your body and you're like, okay, everything's fine. Could you really do that? You know, it's a crazy situation to think about. But Paul was not ashamed of it. And it says here, he says, my matter of life or my youth, Paul goes on, he says, which was the first of mine, my own nation, Jerusalem, which know all the Jews. And he says, look, I was born in Tarsus. I went to Jerusalem. I was raised and I was educated in Jerusalem. And people know me. They know him very well. Some of us have the privilege of being born and raised and still stay in the same town that we grew up in. Or we've lived long enough where people know all about us. They knew him. And so he goes on and says, and when they knew me from the beginning, they would testify. And after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. He says, I became one of the 600 Pharisees. I became one of them because it was a very strict sect. I mean, you had to do everything by the letter of the law. And yet Paul says, I went beyond that. There was this sect called, or this cult called Christianity, and I was a leader of the persecution. I went out there, and man, I did my best. How many of you here today belong to a different church before you came to know Christ? I never tried to live by works. For me personally, I far didn't even get near to that, because I knew that there was something out there that I needed. And I had one group of people tell me, I went to church and they said, well, you need to speak in tongues in order to accept Christ. I was like, this is wrong. Somebody told me this is wrong. I went to another church and they said, well, you need to be a member of the church in order to get to heaven. I was like, oh, no, no, no. This is wrong. I just came from this. And then finally, this one lady at work took me to her church and I heard the gospel and I was like, this is it. All the bells and whistles went off and I was like, I need this. Oh, wow. I can be loved. I needed to be loved. I was hurting. We're all hurting, aren't we? Before we came to know Christ, it's like, my goodness, I need this love so bad. I ache for it. And Christ came in and He saved us. He gave us a new life. And oh, I tell you what, every day I'm like, thank you, Lord, I am saved. I am so thankful. Because I know I don't deserve it, but number two, there's somebody who really loves me. So Paul's saying, yeah, I did all the right things. Okay? A lot of people in the world like that today. And now I stand and I am judged the hope of the promise made of God unto the fathers. He's saying, yeah, I remember the Old Testament prophets. I remember all that was written in the Old Testament and the Pentateuch and so on and so forth. And unto the promise of the 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. You had apostate Jews, those who knew the word of God, but they turned away from the truth and they became angry. How many people do we know today that are angry at God because they rejected God? They don't like us. Well, Jesus says, as I ended last week's message, Jesus said, hey, they hate me, they're going to hate you. You know? If you start blowing your horn, so to speak, you're going to get heads turning. They're not going to like to hear what you're saying. And last time I did that, I had one guy say to me, oh, all the churches are the same. I don't understand what you're talking about because, you know, how can you even say anything like that? We're all the same. Lutheran, Catholic, doesn't matter. I looked at him, I said, nope, I can't agree with you. Nope. And it's like he didn't like it and he left and I was, oh, I gotta have a backbone. Lord, help me to have a backbone. Because there's too many people that are weak today. And thank God we have strong Christians today. We have strong ones. So it says, King Agrippa, here am I accused falsely. Why should it be thought of a thing incredible with you that God should raise from the dead? You know, it's interesting because the people were stunned at what Paul was saying. One, the body was stolen. Remember that. He didn't resurrect Jesus. No, he didn't. Today, people will give you all kinds of excuses. Of course, no. He was resurrected. Well, where is he? Paul, you're a liar. You're a lunatic, or he's Lord, right? What are you talking about? And, of course, we all know that people don't come back from the dead. So, you know, I think you're nuts, Paul. And on top of that, you're talking like you know what you're talking about. You ever met people like that before? They talk like they know what they're talking about. It's just like, what? It's like people need to make a choice. One person said this last week, and I'm quoting from what I read. He says, people have a choice, right, between heaven and hell, right? Well, no, they don't have a choice because they're already going to hell. That's one way of looking at the gospel. That's one way to evangelize. Like, oh my goodness, you need to get saved. You need Jesus. No, it's not. Yeah, it's the old time religion, but it's old and it's always being made renewed in our hearts that we can share Jesus Christ. Amen. But there are people out there that they're going to hell. Okay? Hell is a place for people who reject God. That's the bottom line. They don't want anything to do with a God. So, says here, verily, though I, with myself, I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So, it says here that, you know, he's being persecuted for this. You know, he's been taken the wrong way. And which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of my saints did I shut up in prison. Now he's saying, look, this is what I did. This is why I'm here. They're looking at me like I was the head chief persecutor. I was taking people to jail. I was torturing. I was making them blaspheme God and saying, oh, all right, stop the torture. I don't want my other fingernail pulled out. I will confess, whatever, whatever. You know, when it comes to torture, I've read about this. People, whether they're saved or not, people lose their mind. They'll say anything. When you're being tortured, you're not in the right mind. So I can never, and by the grace of God, I hope I never judge anybody in that situation. You know, you talk to a cancer patient, and they're in delirium, and they can't speak right, and they're just going off and saying things, and you know what? You see the husband over there weeping and crying. I said, Pastor, what is going on with her? She lose her salvation. I had a guy actually tell me that. And I said, no, she's in delirium. She has no idea what she's talking about. Remember her the way she was. And that's the best advice as a pastor. Just remember the good times. Remember the best times. And God bless you. May the Lord hug you and be with you. It's tough. It is hard. And the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He was saying, yes, kill them. I mean, he was out for blood. He hated Christians. And we need to be praying for those who are suffering in concentration camps, name in the name for Christ. There's people that are literally hanging on by a thread with their lives. And I punished them off every in the synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme. Number three, being exceedingly mad against them and persecuted them even unto the strange cities. In other words, he went beyond. He was the worst of the worst. You know, people hated him. And now he's talking about this Jesus Christ and forgiveness and love. He's a changed man. You know, that's what we tell people about. Amen. I've changed. When I got saved, I changed. I was different. I was no longer the same. By the grace of God, we can see that in people and our loved ones, and we must never forget that. Well, what's the difference? What Christianity? What makes you any different than anybody else? And they mock you and make fun of you. I'm a changed man. I'm different. You know, I remember. I may still sin and have problems, but I still take that rebound, and I still dribble that ball of life down the court. I'm going to make a basket with Jesus' help. So it says here, whereupon I was went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. And at midday, O king, I saw a way of the light from the heaven and above the brightness of the sun. In other words, shining about around me and them which journeyed with me. In other words, God's Shekinah glory was brighter than the sun. Can you imagine that? You ever try to look at the sun, you're just like, oh, I can't do that. Of course, you don't want to do that. But it's brighter. It's brighter, the holiness of God. It's like, that is the wow effect here. So, see what happens here. And this is like the third time Paul's mentioned this. Different people being brought up before trials now. His testimony. And when we give our testimonies, make sure it's refined. Make sure you get to the main points, but make sure when you're giving your testimony that it's being spirit-led. Because every time Paul mentions this, he always adds a little bit more to it that we didn't know before. And we get to know each other, ourselves better when we share a testimony with people. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me saying, in Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul. And of course, we know that Paul is the Roman name. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, the pricks is your conscience. Think about your conscience. Think about a bull being led by a farmer, and he would take a prick, and he'd prod it along. Well, picture the bull being Paul, the conscience, and he's trying to kick against the word of God. That would hurt. I would think that would hurt very much. Ow, ow, that hurts. That just makes you either irritated or, you know, you end up passing out on the ground. You know, okay, I give up. God had to get Paul's attention and say, whoa, stop. Can you imagine just the trauma, I would say trauma, but just, oh my goodness, here's God. Here's the God I've been persecuting. This is the God who I thought was, you know, who I thought he was, but now this is the God that's given me light. I understand who he is now. I'm going to follow him, you know. Oh, it just took everything out of him. Can you imagine that? He was giving his best what he thought was right. You have a lot of people today thinking they're going to give him their best, and they're going straight to hell. And you're like, Lord, only you can reach this person. And that's exactly what has to happen. You need to pray for people that you can't even reach. You can't reach them. Tried everything. Go on to Christmas dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, and they still, they don't even want to pray anymore. You get some families that are just falling apart because they're never home with one another. If they're not at the table, they're looking at their iPhones. And so it says, verse 15 says, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted, but arise and stand upon his feet. In other words, he says, you got saved by my love. Now get up and do something. You know, faith without works is dead. He got up right away and he did something. I am saddened today because I've seen a lot of Christians who get into the neutral mood, you know, or they get into the reverse mode. They don't put it in drive with their life and get on with their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dangerous, neutral, putting it there, and you get all kinds of attacks. What happens to those Christians? Oh, they'll leave church, go to another church, or they'll stop coming to church. Okay? And then you get those who put themselves in reverse. What happens to them? They go in reverse, and you can't even tell with a carnal person whether they're saved enough. You can't tell the difference between a worldly person or a carnal Christian, you know, because there is no difference except by the grace of God we're saved, you know. And so we have to be careful. We don't go in reverse. We have to be careful. We don't get ourselves in reverse. We have to keep driving for it, for the Lord. Make sure it's of the Lord, not yourself, because people don't want to be around an antagonist. Somebody who says, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, boy, I don't want to be around them now. You know, no, we got to do it in love. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know him. He's a little crazy, a little nuts, but yeah, he's okay. So he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee in this purpose to make a minister and witness both of these things. And which thou hast seen, and which I will appear unto thee. So, you know, the relationship's there. God appears in his word to us. We have the Holy Spirit. God's saying, I'm going to be with you. Okay? Don't forget Acts 23:11. Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom I have sent thee. Now here comes the commission. Paul's telling the people there, the assembly of people, it must have been thousands of them there. Can you imagine being able to share the gospel with thousands of people, and you just can't, or you're like, Lord, just lead me. So he says, to open their eyes, open thy eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth, that song, that beautiful song. And he turned to them from darkness to light, the metaphor from darkness to light, so they can see. And from the God of this world and from the power of Satan. That means Satan has the idea that he's the little God. He's the little God. That's what Satan means. Devil means adversary and so on and so forth. But to the God of righteousness and holiness and truth. And that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Oh, you know, how many people are really looking for forgiveness of sins today? I haven't really met that many people. As long as I don't offend somebody, it'll be okay, you know. You rub my shoulder, I rub yours, you know. People will try to dilute everything that they can so it makes sense to them. So they're not accountable anymore to anybody. We live in that world where, well, you know the rest of the story. An inheritance amongst them, that's the fifth thing here, his commission. He's going to tell them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to inherit the whole universe with me. In other words, in the kingdom age, we're going to reign and rule with Christ. We're going to actually judge angels. We're, you know, God is going to put down, keep sin suppressed there until the end of the kingdom, until, you know, Satan appears again and deceives the multitude. There are people. We'll be in glorified bodies. Remember, people will still be given in birth and in marriage. during the kingdom. But we won't be able to marry because we'll have glorified bodies, you know? I'll be able to look at Brother Don and say, Don, I told you so. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. I know. I knew it all along, you know, since the beginning of time. Looking at my brothers and sisters, you can see it in their eyes. And then the inheritance, which are sanctified in faith that is in me. So we're set apart. Paul was set apart for the gospel. Verse 19 says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto this heavenly vision. There he is in chains, and he's looking at the king and the governor, and all those they're seated around, seeing they're the ones that are bound in their sins. And say, this is just something physical. One day I'll be released from this body too. I'll go home and be with the Lord. I'll be in a better place. You know, Paul didn't have anything to lose. He had everything to gain. Like he said in Philippians, I'd rather be with you to get the gospel out, but I'd rather also go home and be with the Lord. You know, we've all thought of that. You know, why am I still here, Lord? Well, I'm here because of my husband or my kids or, you know, whoever we love. But then I started to think, well, I'm being pretty selfish. Well, Lord, wait a minute. I need to be doing what you're doing. Lord's saying, get up, get going, do something. Verse 20, but he showed first of them Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for the repentance. So Paul's going on to say, now look, I've been called to the Gentiles, and whether they're Greeks or Jews, whoever, I'm all things to people. I mean, lead people to Christ. And primarily, I'm speaking to the Gentiles right now. If you're not Jewish, you're what? Gentile, right? Verse 21, for the causes of the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Remember last week, they tried for the second time to kill Paul, okay? And, you know, they were going to wait for them. And remember, the governor decided, the new governor came aboard after 2 years, Paul being in jail, and was just like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. Because remember, he had spies everywhere, too, and he was listening to what was going on. And he was like, no, Paul, well, we're not going to meet them on their turf. We're going to meet them on my turf. And, you know, God always protects us, right? We need to stay out of trouble, you know. And, in other words, has the idea of stay out of it. Don't look for it. There's plenty of trouble around us today. So Paul had God on his side. God was protecting him. Verse 22, and having therefore obtained help from God, I continue and to this day, witnessing both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say to come. Oh, here it comes now. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the Gentiles. And he's looking at Festus, and he's looking at King Agrippa and saying, you know all about this, guys. Especially you, King Agrippa, you're the great historian. You know all about the Jewish people. You know about the Gentiles. You know what's going on. He knew the truth. This is where we come to the part where the lady's about ready to sing at the end of the opera. It says, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said unto with a loud voice. Now, Festus is like, I've had enough of this. You could just sense the tension that is going on. Can you imagine you're speaking the truth that we all have, and people are like, I don't want to hear this anymore. It's Christmas time. I'd love to have Uncle So-and-so before, but he talks about this Jesus all the time. Oh, I wish he'd just shut up. But, you know, get people like us. So here he is, Paul, thou art besides thyself. He says, finally stands up and goes, Paul, you're besides yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He says, well, number one, here you are. We're trying to help you. You're in chains and you're just telling us all these things and you're happy about doing it. And you just won't be quiet. You're just like, wow. And Jesus, and then there's Jesus. You talk about Jesus risen from the dead. Don't you know the body was stolen? Of course, you didn't know the guards were paid off. But like the guards would tell you, the guards wouldn't lie because, you know, that would be their heads off. And, you know, he's just like, come on. And you're saying you saw a vision. What? Did you see a ghost? What is this? I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in spirits. You know, he says, you're nuts. Then he's saying that the way you're doing it too, Paul, you presented it so wonderful, eloquent, you know. And you don't make any sense. But he said, verse 25 says, I am not mad, most notable Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He had a reasonable faith. Our faith needs to be reasonable when we witness to people. It says here, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You look at the snow. Isn't it so pure? Isn't it so beautiful? And God can take that sin and crystallize it and cover it. And it's like it never happened. You look at the ground. You can barely see the ground out there. And you're like, oh, wow. You know, God's forgiven me again. Well, thank God. Let's press on. Let's move on for the Lord, right? So, but unfortunately, we're going to see what happens in verse 26. And the king knoweth these things, and before him also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. He says, Paul's saying, look, I'm not hiding anything from you, O king. You know, my life, he knew basically his life was in his hands. But Paul wasn't afraid of that. You know, the biggest problem we have in the world today is fear. All these lies and all these gimmicks are, you know, don't let it kid you. It's all because people are afraid. People don't want to come to the Lord. We'll find out here in a minute. King Agrippa, Paul says, thou believest the prophets? I know that thou believest. So he was zeroed in on the king. And this is where the story ends. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now it's interesting because in the original, really King Agrippa, and a lot of people don't get this or didn't know this, but he says, my time is short. I don't have enough time to listen to this. You know, it's amazing people watch TV for 45 minutes. And I was told in preacher's school years and years ago, he said, well, keep your sermon about 20 minutes. I said, well, I told the professor, I said, I disagree with you on that. I said, as long as the Spirit's leading, he goes, you better have, because you're going to end up having half your congregation fall asleep. So you better make it interesting, remember, you better get to the point, and you better keep their attention. So it's like, okay, I got it. You know, but at this time, these people in this auditorium are like, now they were at the point of rejection. They respected him, but they rejected Paul. And were like, okay, the excuses, I forgot to come in. I got to get going. Sorry, I don't have time for this. Listen to this. And it says, and after he says, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost altogether such as am I, except in bonds. He's saying, oh, you know, if you people would just understand, if you knew this, that I'm in bonds, but I'm set free in Jesus, and you are still in bondage to your sin. And, you know, here we have Bernice, you know, the wife there of Festus, of King Agrippa, excuse me. And history tells us that she was actually a mistress to two more people. So actually she left the king. She left the king after a while, went on to other. You got to remember something. Women back in that day, they didn't have much of anything. So they needed to get married. They needed support. That's just the way society worked. They looked at women as being subservient back in those days. Sorry, ladies, but that's the way it was, you know. I believe in women's rights, but in different ways. I believe in women's rights according to the Bible. Women have so much more rights, you know, and according to the Word. Festus was thinking, oh, no, I can't believe in you, Paul. They're going to think that I'm, remember he told Paul he was crazy. They didn't think I'm crazy. So, no, I can't. Sorry, I'm out of here. Then he had King Agrippa was like, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to lose everything that I have. I can't be this great knower of truth with the Jewish society and Christian society, and you know, I know all these things. They're going to think, oh, this guy can't be part of this anymore because he's a Christian. He's going one-sided. You notice most people like people that are in the middle, that don't want to make a decision. Yeah, I believe in Christianity, but that's for people who have got problems. I mean, don't kid yourself. We all have problems. And then, of course, obviously, between the three of them, it was like, well, there's fear. There's fear. They don't want to accept it as they were walking away talking because they were scared. And that is the biggest problem today, is people not wanting to accept Christ as Savior. They're scared. They are so scared. They're going to lose things, give up things over and over in many different ways. The fear is that. Fear is so thick in the government right now. They have to make up lies. They got to make up stories because they want to win. And the devil wants to win people's souls today. And it says here in closing up, and when they were gone, aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death. This man did nothing worthy of it. Last verse, and then King Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set into liberty if it had not appeared unto Caesar. So, you know, they were like, we're going to take this hot potato. And unfortunately, people treat themselves like they're a hot potato. They're just like, well, I'm going to live, I'm going to die, and, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and die. And that was it. And it's amazing. The gospel continues on, but yet, do you remember these people? Felix, Festus, Agrippa, the Sanhedrin. Do you really learn about that? Who do you learn more about than anything else? It's Jesus Christ. Goes on forever. The Word of God goes on forever. But I tell you what, our testimony today, I'm going to close with this, should shine with the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to see a change in our lives. You say, when you got saved, people need to see the change. If they don't, they're just like, well, you're just like anybody else, you know? We probably as Christians had our times when we've fallen, you know? But God gets us back up because we have that same Adamic nature in us. And God can forgive us. He can restore us. He can make us new again. Get us back with our first love, you know? What was the problem in the churches over the centuries? History repeats itself. The first thing that goes is what? First love. Who's the first love? It's Jesus Christ. It's His Word and Spirit. You know? So Paul did not lose his first love. If anything, it made him stronger. What I'm trying to say here, I'm closing it. When it comes to trials and tribulations, like we sung the last song, you know, it should make us stronger. To make us stronger. Say, I can't do that, Pastor. There's just no way. You can do it only by the grace of God. That's it. You know, and go by faith. I can do this by the grace of God. I can do this by the grace of God. And by the love and His mercy. And Lord, help me do this. Because this life is very hard. It's very hard for us today. But greater is He that's in us. We have all the promises in there. And we have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And we march on because there's nothing else to live for. There's nothing else to live for. Let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for Paul's testimony. I thank You for everybody's testimony here. They decided to shine His lights. They decided to open up their lives to You. I thank You, Lord, that there's not a person here that I know that who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray online that people are listening, God, that they will understand who You are. And salvation is so great. Please today, don't turn away like as we saw with Agrippa and also with Felix and Festus and Priscilla and others, Lord, that turned away. There was nobody there after Paul gave his testimony that the Bible tells us they accepted Christ. So the few are enter into heaven. Narrow is the way. But when God comes knocking at our door, Lord, I pray that people won't turn away. We know there are people today we've never stopped praying for. So we know by the grace of God, sir, we, and Lord, we pray for them. Some people have done some very foolish things. Some people have made liars of themselves. Some people have disgraced themselves. Some people have called the lie the truth the lie. Lord, we just pray, God, that we will continue to be lights in this world. Before you come back, we're looking forward to you come back, Lord, but we're thankful to being here so that we can share the love of Christ. Lord, we're not here to play church. Oh, no. That went out the door years ago when we got saved. We're here because we're edified to build one another up, to learn, to worship you, to have fellowship. We're in the family. We have a family here. And it's a family of God. And Lord, we thank you for this time through your death, burial, and resurrection. And we're looking forward to you coming back in Jesus' name through his blood. Amen.